No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill, and today is the ninth day of December. Welcome, everyone. I lost all sense of reality just for a second. It's so good to be here with you on this eighth day of December. We are walking our way, through this last month of the year together, counting down till Christmas, counting down until we have accomplished the goal, which is to be here in the Word of God every day to get through the Bible. The finish line is in sight. And friends, brothers and sisters, I know some of you have fallen down on the way. I know life got to you, as it tends to do sometimes. And we're with you. And we're pulling you up. And we're hoisting you on our shoulders, arm around arm, limping with you if we have to. But getting through the finish line together, that is a possibility. You do not have to go it alone. And so if that's you, if you are just treading water, we're with you. Help is on the way. We're here. We will be your oxygen. And we will remind you to just breathe. That's all you got to do. Just breathe and be. And we will be here with you. We continue today in the book of Romans, reading chapters 8 through 10. And this week we are reading the Evangelical Heritage Version, Romans chapter 8. So then, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Indeed, what the law was unable to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did when he sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to deal with sin. God condemned sin in his flesh so that the righteous decree of the law would be fully satisfied in us who are not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. To be sure, those who are in harmony with the sinful flesh think about things the way the sinful flesh does, and those in harmony with the Spirit think about things the way the Spirit does. Now, the way the sinful flesh thinks results in death, but the way the Spirit thinks results in life and peace. For the mindset of the sinful flesh is hostile to God, since it does not submit to God's law, and in fact, it cannot. Those who are in the sinful flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the sinful flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed God's Spirit lives in you. And if someone does not have the Spirit of Christ, that person does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, but your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will also make your mortal bodies alive through his Spirit who is dwelling in you. So then, brothers, we do not owe it to the sinful flesh to live in harmony with it. For if you live in harmony with the sinful flesh, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the actions of the body, you will live. Indeed, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery so that you are afraid again, but you received the Spirit of adoption by whom we call out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself joins our spirit in testifying that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, we are also heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, since we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. For I conclude that our sufferings at the present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. In fact, creation is waiting with eager longing for the sons of God to be revealed. For creation was subjected to futility, not by its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in the hope that even creation itself will be set free from slavery to corruption in order to share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. For we know that all of creation is groaning with birth pains right up to the present time, and not only creation, but also we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we eagerly await our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. Indeed, it was for this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is not hope, because who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for something we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patient endurance. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we should pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that are not expressed in words. And he who searches our hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to God's will. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose, because those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What then will we say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Indeed, he who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also graciously give us all things along with him? Who will bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus, who died and, more than that, was raised to life, is the one who is at God's right hand and who is also interceding for us. What will separate us from the love of Christ? Will trouble or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor rulers, neither things present nor things to come, nor powerful forces, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continuous pain in my heart. For I almost wish that I myself could be cursed and separated from Christ in place of my brothers, my relatives according to the flesh, those who are Israelites. Theirs are the adoption as sons, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, came the Christ, who is God over all, eternally blessed. Amen. This does not mean that God's word has failed, because not all who are descended from Israel are really Israel. And not all who are descended from Abraham are really his children. On the contrary, your line of descent will be traced through Isaac. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are counted as his descendants. For this is what the promise said, I will arrive at this set time, and Sarah will have a son. Not only that, but Rebekah also had children by one man, our forefather Isaac, even before the twins were born or did anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose in election might continue, not by works, but because of him who called us. It was said to her, the older will serve the younger, just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. What will we say then? Does this mean that God is unjust? Absolutely not. For God says to Moses, I will show mercy to whom I show mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then, it does not depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. Indeed, the scripture says in regard to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I caused you to stand, that I may demonstrate my power in how I deal with you, and that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. So then, God shows mercy to whom he desires, and he hardens whom he desires. Then you will say to me, why does God still find fault? For who has ever succeeded in resisting his will? But who are you, a mere human being, to talk back to God? Shall the thing that is formed say to the one who formed it, why did you make me like this? No. Doesn't the potter have the right to make out the same lump of clay, one pot for special use and another for ordinary use? What if God, although he wanted to demonstrate his wrath and make his power known, endured with great patience the objects of wrath ripe for destruction? And what if he did this to make the riches of his glory known to the objects of mercy, whom he prepared in advance for glory, including us, whom he called, not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles? This is also what God says in Hosea, those who were not my people, I will call my people, and she who was not loved, I will call my loved one. And it will be that in the place where they were told, you are not my people, there they will be called sons of the living God. And Isaiah cried out about Israel, although the number of the sons of Israel is as great as the sand of the sea, only the remnant will be saved. For the Lord, who carries out what he says without delay, will do what he said completely and decisively on the earth. Just as Isaiah said earlier, if the Lord of armies had not left us some descendants, we would have become like Sodom, and we would have been like Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who were not pursuing righteousness have obtained righteousness, a righteousness that is by faith? But Israel, while pursuing the law as a way of righteousness, did not reach it. Why? Because they kept pursuing it not by faith, but as if it comes by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone, just as it is written, look, I am putting a stone in Zion over which they will stumble, and a rock over which they will fall. The one who believes in him will not be put to shame. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God on behalf of the Israelites is that they may be saved. Indeed, I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but it is not consistent with knowledge. Since they were ignorant of the righteousness from God and sought to establish their own righteousness, they did not submit to the righteousness from God. For to everyone who believes, Christ is the end of the law, resulting in righteousness. Indeed, Moses writes this about the righteousness that comes by the law. The one who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes by faith speaks like this: Do not say in your heart, Who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we are proclaiming. Certainly, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and it is with the mouth that a person confesses, resulting in salvation. For Scripture says, Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. So there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, because the same Lord is Lord of all, who gives generously to all who call on him. Yes, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So then, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one about whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news of peace, who preach the gospel of good things. But not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who believed our message? So then, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message comes through the word of Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course, they certainly did. The sound of their voice went out to all the earth, and their words to the farthest parts of the world. Yet I ask, did Israel not understand? For Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. I will make you angry with a nation that does not understand. And Isaiah also boldly says, I was found by those who were not looking for me. I became well known to those who were not asking for me. But about Israel, he says, All day long I stretched out my hands to a people who disobey and oppose me. I wish there was a really easy explanation for all of the things that we just read, because one sentence here is like a head explosion, and then it explains five sentences and two paragraphs until we hit another head explosion. I do not know how to do that. What I can say is, if you do have the resource, The God of Your Story, there is a beautiful breakdown, like 3 or 4 days of 3 days, I think, of chapter 8, and I didn't even go as far as chapter 9. I know there's one for sure in chapter 9, which we read through 10 today. So if you want a more in-depth, I would highly suggest reading that, pausing when you need to, letting it kind of sink in, sink down. They are just too long to read here, because there's a lot to unpack to understand it. So let's just simply say today, the importance, as we keep saying all the way back to the Old Testament, the importance of self-examination in our own selves, in our own lives. Let's be as consumed with our own sin and not think, because we prayed a prayer and came to Christ, that we're good, that we're blameless, that we're sinless, that we don't sin, or that they're all covered underneath the blood, therefore we don't even need to acknowledge them. That is some theological doo-doo. I think it's even called spiritual bypassing. Let's just call it what it is: avoidance. It's a bit pious and self-righteous to think that we do not fall short. We are in need of grace and mercy every day. And the way that we stay in relationship with God, and the way that we stay in relationship with people is to acknowledge when we fail, when we mess up, and to do the work, to right those wrongs, to change those patterns. This is how we have to acknowledge our own sin. Now, we hear the words of death a lot as it pertains to sin and to unrighteousness. So let's understand that Paul is also referring to a spiritual death. When we sin, when we give into our sinful flesh. Now let's understand that what is not being said is that sin is only sin if it is done in the physical sense. We talked about the things that God hates. Let me remind us: arrogant, haughty eyes, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, a person who stirs up dissension among brothers and sisters. These are from Proverbs. These are not my doing here. I'm just reminding us from something we read earlier this year that is actually in the Bible. And maybe we need to get real technical and define what actual sin is. We read it all throughout the Bible. But sometimes we like to minimize the ones that we know everybody else is guilty of and dismiss our own. This is the whole issue that does not fly in our Christian faith. It's not a new thing that we're more consumed with everybody else and what they're doing wrong than we are with us. It's obviously been around a long time because it's all throughout the Bible. This is the reminder that I remind us again today. Paul is talking about we have got to deal with our own sin nature. When we sin, we cannot please God. Even if we hide it, even if we do it in secret, we're not fooling God. It's still sin. Maybe we just got away with it, but it's still sin. Maybe we've heard doo-doo theology that we don't sin anymore because of Jesus. We still sin. And there's something quite powerful about confessing that sin out loud. There's a level of accountability to our own selves. There's a level of remorse and sorrow and regret and pain. And it hurts. It's supposed to. It's sin. It's filthy. It's ugly. It's disgusting. But as we read today, back to the point of death, there's a spiritual death that takes place within our spirit when we continue to sin. And man, maybe we're even that person that's like so aware of what we do that we're like, well, I don't care. This is how I am. You're just gonna have to take me or leave me. Like we're aware of our shortcomings and we're like, we know, and we're unwilling to do anything about it. So you can just adapt. I think that's not the point. I think the point is to recognize those things that we are aware of, that we like to justify, that we like to excuse. And man, I could do a whole thing here about my bad. My bad is not repentance. It's not the same as I'm sorry. So let's understand that Paul is not just talking about a physical death. In fact, I think a lot of times we put so much emphasis on actual death and life throughout Scripture when so many times talking about spiritual life and spiritual death. because we have eternal life through Christ, through the Spirit of Christ, and the Spirit produces good fruit. Good fruit is here now. It's edible. It's life-giving. Good fruit produces good fruit. It's going to keep on giving. That is life. That is life. This is spiritual life. When we grab hold of the spiritual fruits, when we choose them, love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, patience, self-control, these are the fruit. Let me tell you what's not the fruit. Pride, arrogance, greed, jealousy, envy, gossip, slander, lies. Any of those last things that I mentioned that we participate in, they are spiritual death. Nothing good comes from those things. They produce nothing good. There is no life in them. And so if we get anything out of the book of Romans and out of everything that we've read today, let's deal with our own sin so that we can have the abundant eternal life that is available to us now, spiritually speaking. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for how your word changes us if we allow it. Thank you for the transformation that comes through you. May we all be transformed by your word. Holy Spirit, guide us into all truth, I pray. And I pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible, that is home base, that is the website, that is the free app. Take a look around. It's Christmas time. It's one of the most wonderful times of the year. And I realize that not everybody feels that way. I validate your feelings. With that being said, it is Christmas call-in time. You can call in your Christmas greeting to Daily Audio Bible or Daily Audio Bible Chronological, whichever channel you are more accustomed to using. You do that the same way you use the line for prayer, 800-583-2164. That is the number for Chronological. Or if you're utilizing the app, hit the red circle button up at the top midsection. You have 2 minutes on the prayer line. Keep your calls separate. If you're calling in for the Christmas, make it just Christmas. If you're calling in for prayer or to pray, make that a separate call. Do only call one time for the Christmas party. Is that what we call it? Christmas party. Yeah, something like that. Call once, get your Christmas greeting in. Don't forget. Don't delay. If you would like to partner with us, thank you so much to each and every one of you for each and every partnership. We could not do this without you. If you're giving by mail, DAB, P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. Or again, if you're utilizing the app, hit the give icon up at the top right-hand section. And lastly, look for give on the website. That's it for me today. I'm Jill. We'll turn the page together tomorrow, continue in the book of Romans. I love you all. Until then, love one another.
Good morning, family. This is Tammy calling from the Central Coast of California. I woke up this morning with a text saying that my aunt Teresa had fallen and was in the hospital. This morning, I was told that she had fractured her spine and that she was having surgery this morning. So family, I am asking for your help in praying for my aunt. I thank you that I can come to you in times of need and times of distress, knowing that you are faithful to pray. So, dear Heavenly Father, I just lift up my Aunt Teresa to you right now. I'm asking for a complete and healing, that she will have a speedy recovery, that you will use this time that she might draw closer to you, Lord. We thank you that you are faithful and that you care about the things that we care about. We thank you, Jesus, and I pray these things in your precious name. God bless you, family. Make it a great day.
Hi, this is Victoria Soldier, just calling to pray for some of the dabbers. Want to say happy Thanksgiving. Congratulations to Zeke. And also, I want to pray for the precious lady from Cleveland whose son and daughter is trying to have a baby. It's a blessing for a son and a daughter-in-law, or for them to want to come together and have a child, and they haven't been successful. But I believe that this is the one that God has for them. And I'm praying with you, my sister. And I also want to pray for my sister whose husband is thinking of suicide. My precious sister, her husband is feeling like he doesn't want to be here. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just ask you to give him joy. The devil is trying to steal and kill and to destroy, but the devil is a liar and the truth is not in him. Father, and you touch that precious baby. My daughter-in-law lost a set of twins, and she wound up, not many months later, she wound up having a baby. Lord, you bless those precious people with a baby, Lord. You bless them with their precious baby. Oh, Lord, let it be healthy and strong and wise. And, Lord, let it be full of joy. And give them the joy and even the mother the joy. Oh, Lord, we just ask you to touch my sister whose husband is thinking he doesn't want to live. Let him look at that beautiful wife that he has and realize that God has some things for them to do, and he's not finished yet. We're here for God's purpose. Oh, Lord, we just ask you to give him joy. You give him joy unspeakable and full of glory, and let him see his purpose for living. And, Lord, we'll give you the glory. We'll give you the honor and the praise. We want to thank Brian for 20 years with the distinction that he has given us the gospel, and we thank you so much, Brian and Jill and China and her birthday and your father's birthday. Brian, we just thank you so much, and Lord, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise. Have a good day, Deborah. Love you tremendously. Bye-bye.